Okay, Job chapter 3. Hey, Jake, your hat's crooked. Okay, Job chapter 3. Let's go ahead and pray first. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand these passages, and I pray you'd help us to understand the troubles of life and how we're supposed to deal with them, how we're supposed to handle them. I pray you'd help us to recognize the reason why a lot of these things take place, especially since 6,000 years from Adam, and things have been building, going on. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to just understand a little bit more about this Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, a lot of times people go through troubles, heartaches, problems. Often the questions asked by the person, why me? Why is this happening to me? Okay, and that's almost always a question asked. In Job chapter 3, Job faced some real troubles. Okay, in Job 1, you know the story where it says that he lost everything he had, then he lost 10 children, then he lost his health. Chapter 3, he starts talking. And the question, why, does come up. But not, why is this happening? His question is, why didn't I die from the start? Okay, Job 3, verse 1. After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there's a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness, let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it, let a cloud dwell upon it, let the blackness of the earth of day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the day of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their morning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light and have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Now here's the why. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Why the breast that I should suck? The question is why? He's wishing he's dead. Okay, of these terrible things that he's gone through. Okay, and there's another one like this, Jeremiah chapter 15. Okay, Jeremiah's story is a little bit different, but it is facing trouble. If you can imagine a Muslim army coming in and conquering your country. And before that, you're warning everybody for 50 or 60 years, and it got to the point where everybody got tired of him, and he is by himself. Okay, Jeremiah 15:10, woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me, a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. That's the entire area there. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. The Lord said, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Very few people listen to him. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. You read that later on in the book. Then he says, ask the question, shall iron break the northern army in the steel? Thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not, for a fire is kindled in mine anger, which shall burn upon you. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me. Revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of thine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual, and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, or as waters that fail? Okay, Jeremiah spoke against everyone and everything of his day. Close to the end of the nation of Judah, and when any nation goes down to tubes, everything is going wrong. And if you and I, in this day and age, if you try to right every wrong that happens in your life, it'll never be over. You can fight in the courts about your driver's license, about your property tax, about income tax, about a building permit. You can fight anything and everything and not get anything accomplished. That's the day and age we're living in. I mean, if you want to get in the legal fights, you can start anytime, any place, on any subject. That's where we're at in this, and where we're at today. Constant abuse, constant thefts and things going on. Okay, one more fella, Habakkuk. This fella is the same time period as Jeremiah. Everything's falling apart. The temple or the churches were in a mess, the temple back in those days. Okay, and you can see all across America, if you want to get in a fight spiritually, start traveling the country, visit these churches, go to each church and tell the preacher he's an apostate, you know, have at it. That'd be a fun ministry. You know, dress up as a drunk and go in some of these charismatic churches and start asking questions in Sunday school class. Just burn their clutch plate. Okay, Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk was the same time period that Jeremiah was. He was dealing with the same people. Okay, and he calls it a burden. Habakkuk 1 verse, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save! Exclamation point. That's how you. That's when you feel like it's really bad. Even when you're going through the trouble and you're praying and you're begging God to help you out, and he's not even listening. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and the judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Everybody's looking for justice. Forget it in these days. If you get justice, it'll be by accident. Okay, and so a lot of times the question is asked by people, why? Why is this happening to me? Why me? Why is this trouble heading in my way? You know, maybe you got a sickness or disease, or a sickness you just can't shake, or a disease. Okay, whatever it is, maybe you're just got the aches and pains of getting old. Okay, maybe it's financial trouble. Maybe you're in debt to somebody. Maybe you owe somebody a bunch of money. Maybe your credit cards are stacked up, you know, and you got $9,000 in credit card bills. Maybe you can't make your house payment. You got some sort of financial trouble or debt. Maybe it's a heartache. A lot of people are hiding their heartaches. They keep them hid. The question is also almost always asked by people, hi, how are you doing? Hi, how are you doing? And when you get ready to answer it, they're long gone. Hi, how are you doing? Horrible. And usually, I say that a lot of times just for fun, and I always get a laugh. You're laughing at my horrible situation? Why? Because everyone wants to say it's fine when it's not. You see, a lot of people are just trying to keep their hurts hidden from others. Okay, but why am I having this problem? Problem in my family, wife or husband, disagreement with parents, kids with the parents, or the parents with the kids, or my child disappointed me, rebellion. What about them in-laws? That's just understandable. Okay, so you got the in-laws. Why did I get in this accident? You know, this accident cost me a lot of money, you know, and man, I'm hurting. Why do I got these school troubles? This teacher just constantly bothered me. A Christian kid goes to a public school or a state high school or a Purdue or one of these places and they get harassed about being saved. Why is this happening to me? Maybe a guy spent time in jail. Why am I in jail? You're a victim of a crime. Not the petty stuff where a guy pulls a gun on you, but the county crimes, the legalized stuff, the abuse. You and I can't imagine the abuse all across this country that children are enduring. Homeschool kids being molested and abused. If you read one of the recent articles by Mike Pearl about the molestation that goes on in the homeschool community. And people think things are all just hunky-dory and our kids are just wonderful and fine and dandy, but you can't see the heart. My little kids are angels. Yeah, fallen. Okay, and the thing is, we're all fighting this battle. Okay, but it's phenomenal what people have to... I mean, one of the little boys that comes down to Rensselaer, we're sitting in Vacation Bible School, and I'm sitting beside him, just goofing off with him, and I pointed out, Lindsay was playing the piano. I said, "That's Lindsay, that's my daughter." "Oh, and what's her last name?" "Hoffman." And I said, "That's Luke up there, and that's my son." "Oh, and what's his last name?" "Hoffman." "And then Ashley, that's my..." "Oh, and what's her last name?" "Hoffman." He doesn't know that's the way it's supposed to be. He's got, I don't know how many siblings, all different names. That's the generation of these days. And those kids are so abused, not just mentally or emotionally, sexually. I mean, they're taught this stuff in a public school from kindergarten. You know, Heather has two mommies. That's a class in school. And these kids are constantly abused. Why? And a kid may say, "Why did this happen to me?" You know, I know a lady, a Christian lady, or her stepdad had abused her many times. And when he died, she wanted to dance on his grave. Okay, but why all this trouble, problems people go through? You say, "Things aren't so bad for me." Well, just give it time. I want to be real encouraging about these things. If you're not facing any troubles now, just mark it down. It's coming. You say, "Well, you should be positive on your outlook." The power of positive thinking. Okay, positively, you're going to be facing trouble. It's coming your way. I mean, the tax hikes next year, Obama and company. Often I hear preachers complain about the struggles of the ministry. What did you expect you're getting into? Romans 2 says it's a burnt offering. It's a burnt sacrifice. Isn't that what you volunteered for? That's what you got in? Phil Robertson sent out his newsletter, and he's a missionary down in Chile. Good man, good man. Somebody broke in his house and took everything. Credit cards, passports, computers. And that computer was the basis of his ministry. And all the work that he did on that and translating. I think he has recently gotten some of that back. But can you imagine the pain, the trouble he's had to go through? He picked up his family, left the security of this country, what he's used to, go to a foreign country to try to help these folks to come to Christ, and the trouble he's gone through. Many missionaries gone to Africa, and a wife, you know, gets malaria 2-3 times. And why all this trouble? Why? Why is this happening to me? I'll give you some of the reasons this morning. Now, the typical answers are sin. I'm not going to use the typical theological answers. Yes, I know it's sin. I know it's all sin that began from Adam. I understand all that stuff. Okay, and it may not be your sin personally that's bringing the trouble upon you. Sin is one reason. The other reason is self-inflicted. You caused your own trouble. I'm not even going to deal with that. Whether you got yourself in this mess and you got to figure out how to get out of it or how to endure it, I'm not even going to put the blame on the person. Many of our problems are self-inflicting. In fact, the vast majority of them are self-inflicting. Okay, but we're not even going to worry about that. We're not going to, get a pity party and say, woe is me, and worry about me and all this stuff. Okay, my credit card's, whose fault is that? Okay, we're not going to even get into that. Okay, so sin, self-infliction, Satan, society. Or if you're just trying to serve the Lord. Why is all this happening to me? Okay, the first reason is because you are alive. Nothing difficult about that. You're breathing, you're walking. When you're breathing and you're walking and your temperature's 98.6 and you walk through a woods, you are fair game to all mosquitoes, flies, insects, bugs, fleas, lice, ticks. Why is that happening to me? Because you're breathing, that's why. Now, when you die, a different sort of parasite comes in and eats you up until you're dead and gone and back to the dust. But you see, all these flies, mosquitoes, what does that portray in the Bible? Unclean spirits. If you're a born-again believer, guess who they want to hop on? Unclean spirits. And people who are infested with unclean spirits have an infatuation with going after the blood of a born-again believer. You're alive. Job 5, verse 7, Job said, a man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Life is full of trouble. Dead people feel no pain. Okay, and a parasite needs a host. And if you're alive, guess what? A parasite in our country called politics, a bunch of bloodsuckers, they need a host. And guess who it is? It's productive people. People at the courthouse are not productive. The judge, the lawyers, they don't produce anything. They take it from the host. I'd rather be the one being taken from than the thief when I hit the judgment. Okay, and so just because one is alive, you're in the game of life. And Satan in the world is your opposition. Can you imagine any of these professional quarterbacks tonight going to somebody that they, that cares about their friend? I don't understand why that guy hit me. He chased me and knocked me down. Why are they so mean at me? And those fans, did you hear what they said? They said I was a bum. Did you hear what they said about my mother? Those people were cheering me, but when I threw that interception, they got all upset. I don't understand why this is happening to me. I mean, that guy, he reached in my helmet and twisted my lips about off. Why would he do something like that? They're so mean. And the coach, he was yelling at me. And I just don't understand why are they just, and the media, those guys just criticize and they never pick up a football a day in their life and they're criticizing, telling me how to throw the ball. Hey, if you don't like the criticism, don't get in the game. What you griping about? You're getting paid about $1 million per game. But you see, we're in the game of life. And Satan looks at us as fair game. Championships are much more sweet when the hardships are more drastic. A team that not only endured the opposition, but endured maybe the death of a player or a coach or something throughout the season, and if they still win the championship, those championships are more sweet to them than any. And when a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ hits the judgment seat of Christ as a champion of Jesus Christ, gone through all the drastic things of life, that is going to be so much sweeter at that time. In fact, I could probably pretty much guarantee it. At that judgment seat of Christ, after we see how the awards were passed out, we're going to wish we had more trouble. Often people say, God's been good to us. God's been good to our church. Man, we've gone from 100 to 150. And one of the preachers said, God's been good to us. Our church went from 100 to 25. We're spreading out. You see, our idea of God's goodness to us is doing something positive to us. God's good to Christians in North Korea as they're suffering. Maybe more good to them than he is to us. Because he's thinking down the road at the judgment seat of Christ. Who's going to get more rewards at the judgment seat? Those believers or the ones in our country? Yeah, and of course, I don't like saying stuff like that. Because I know there's a spirit may send that message. Hey, let's try him out. You know, but still the idea, if you got troubles, it's one reason because you're alive. Second reason is because God is proving you. If you would look in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. God is proving. Now, this is obviously for the nation of Israel, doctrinally. God proved Israel, his children in the Old Testament. If he did that in the Old Testament, don't you know he's doing it in the New Testament? If God only showered his riches, how would he know who are his friends? The Bible says the rich hath many friends. How would God know who are his real friends if he didn't test us? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, and thou wilt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. He's proving us. He is checking out our sincerity. How sincere are we in wanting to know about Jesus Christ? He's proving us. He's testing us. And I recognize that when you get tested maybe on an issue for the first time, you may not pass that test. But I'll tell you one thing, God lets you take it over again. Maybe the next time you get a D, maybe the next time you get a C, but at least you're improving and you're growing in grace. God is proving us. He's checking out. He wants to prove our sincerity, the sincerity of our love. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8, he writes it this way, I speak not by commandment of others. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. A lot of people will say, and I've heard this, if I would just win the lottery, I would give a lot of money to God's work. Okay, start now, before you waste the money. If you're not doing it now, you see, God deals with percentages. He doesn't deal with amounts. He deals with the quality of something, of what sort it is. And if you're not given to the work of God now, you see, what it is you want to be able to give a big chunk so that you get attention about your generosity of something that was given to you. And the thing is do it all secretly and privately, you know, and give to somebody. You know, Ash's truck broke down this past week and was in the auto parts store trying to explain what the problem, you know, the thingamajig, don't do this thingamajig here. And a guy's in the store, and he heard and listened to her, and he said, I'll come and fix it for nothing. I work on cars. I do it for people for nothing. So I showed up. This guy was there, and I said, battery light was on. I said, it's got to be alternator. He said, oh, she didn't tell me that. I said, yeah, that's not, you know. So I went and got, he said, you get the alternator, I'll put it in. I said, are you serious? Yep. So I went and got it, and he had it all out before I even got back. Had the tools and everything, just like he was ready-made. And so he whipped the other thing in. I offered him money. No, I don't take anything. Not me. I just want to do it for others. And then he, I think it was his form of witnessing. He goes to Grace Fellowship down in DeMott. And, you know, I talked to him for a little bit. But that was just a blessing that he wanted to do. I mean, that was something that he wanted to give out to somebody. I mean, that's something. That's a blessing. You see, and so God is checking us out. He's checking our sincerity out. Okay, the third reason is, obviously the biggest one, if you would look in John chapter 9. John chapter 9. The biggest reason for the troubles often that we endure, it's for the glory of God. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, it's for God's pleasure. And the glory of God can be made known to you either personally or publicly. Okay, in this story, John chapter 9, this is about the guy that was born blind. John 9, verse 1. And as God passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. And the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, I'm trying to figure out, why would they think it's this man? He was born blind, so what did he do before he was born? What sin did he commit before he was born to get blind? Now, I can't figure that question out. But again, that's people's mindset. They ask dumb questions a lot of times. And that's the thinking. Okay? Sin. But what is the reason? Verse 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. The glory of God is made known to you personally or publicly. A lot of times when you're going through your troubles, you'll be praying and praying and praying, and you're wondering, is that prayer going around this building like a Super Bowl? Remember them Super Bowls? Man, you can hit that in a nice building and whack, and that thing just goes everywhere. And you feel like your prayers are like that. And often this is how God works. Is he works behind the scenes. And so a lot of times you got to look backwards and you say, oh man, God was working here, he worked here, he worked here. It's just that I didn't see it. And that's how the Lord is. Okay, if you would, look in Psalm 119. Okay, for the glory of God is made known personally or publicly, as in your growth in grace. Psalm 119. You know, it's like you say, how could God get glory out of my trouble, even killing me, if it's for his glory? Well, think of it this way, like a little boy who's got his little army toys all laid out, his little G.I. Joes, his little army guys. And what does he do? He's got his army guys laid out, and then for his pleasure, and they all down like that. And for his pleasure, here comes one, you're walking and say, boom! That's for his pleasure. Well, God and we are the toys. And it's for his pleasure. And if that brings him glory, Psalm 119, verse 50. If you run through the words afflicted, Psalm 119, verse 50, he says this, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Okay, he's being afflicted, he's begging for comfort. And the comfort is the word of God. So he gets comfort from that. The next occurrence is verse 67. Here he says, before, in the past, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. You see, he's getting better. You see, and a lot of times this is the problem we have. We go through a trouble, a problem, a hard time. We get mad at God. And I'm mad at God. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to read my Bible, and I'm not going to pray. I'll show him. So they get mad at God. And like a kid said to me Friday, I even prayed to the devil because I was mad at God. And so, okay, you go through adversity. Before, prior to this, he went astray. Verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Oh, a different attitude. In the past, he ran away from God, got mad at God, forsook God's law. Here, he said, boy, I have to admit, it was good for me to be afflicted. I learned some things. I learned the word of God. I learned some things that I would have never learned without that affliction. Thank God for that affliction. 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Now he's recognizing that God is in the mix of it. Verse 92, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. 153, consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. This is part of growth and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing is, for the glory of God, is you get to know the Lord better. You get to draw closer to Him better. A lot of times people say, oh, I just want to know Jesus. I want to get to know Him better. Well, if you want to get to know Him better, then you got to have some things in common. He was a man of sorrows, a man acquainted with grief. He was rejected. You're getting some things in common. Philippians 3 verse 10 calls it the fellowship of His sufferings. When Jesus Christ took the sin of mankind upon Him, He said, my God, why? Why? Why hast thou forsaken me? Where'd you go? Why have you forsaken me? And this is often the case when you go through your troubles and you feel like God has forsaken you. Now, in that case, God did turn His back on Jesus Christ because of sin. But it's going to feel like that to you or I when you go through your trouble. Where is God? I'm praying, I'm begging, I'm pleading. Where is God in the mix of this? And you don't see Him until after the fact. It's funny, the book of Esther is a book that scholars often say is not supposed to be in the Bible. Why? The word God or Lord is not in the book. And so they don't think it should be in the Bible. But the book of Esther shows how God works behind the scenes to get accomplished what He wants accomplished. What happened in the book of Esther? Oh, a second guy in charge, Haman, got too big for his britches, passed a law, wanted people to bow and worship him. Mordecai read the law and said, I'm not doing that. Refused to bow and worship. Haman got a burr under his saddle about that. Got mad at Mordecai, wanted to get rid of Mordecai. That guy don't respect me. That guy don't honor me. Finds out he's a Jew. Oh, no, all Jews are the same. I got to get rid of all of them. So he passed a law to get rid of all the Jews. Mordecai warns Esther about this. She prays and fasts 3 days, three nights. And lo and behold, one of those nights the king couldn't sleep. So he does what he knows what's going to put him to sleep. Get out a history book. Read them chronicles. Boring. I would suggest reading the chronologies of Genesis 5 and, you know, 1 Chronicles. Okay, but he starts reading, and a guy is reading that to him, and he's staying awake. And he reads about two men who plotted to kill him. The guy reads about Mordecai as the guy that informed the king about the plot. But nothing is said about Mordecai getting rewarded. And lo and behold, he stays up all night. He's up in the morning thinking about that. Man, I need to do something for Mordecai. What should I do? What should I do? Man, that guy saved my life. I got to honor him. And here comes Haman. Just at that time. Where's God in the mix? He's controlling everything. He kept the guy up. He put the thoughts in Haman's mind to get the man to deceive himself. Haman comes in and the king offers, man, you got any suggestions? I want to honor a guy. Haman in his vain mind, oh man, he's going to honor me. I'm number two guy. Let's make this good. He said, oh, go do that to Mordecai. And then everything started. You can see God working behind the scenes through that. And that's often what He does to us. Often you don't see Him and notice that He was working when you look backwards. That's when you see it. And so, you know Christ better. Not only that, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Some of the sufferings and problems you go through is so that you learn to overcome them, so that you can help somebody else through the same thing. Where somebody's gone through the same problem, you can actually say, I understand. And it's true. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And that would bring God glory, to help the wounded, to help someone going through a tough time. Now, the ultimate way is, if you would, in Matthew 8. This is if God wants to make show his glory publicly. Most of the time, it's just a private thing between you and the Lord where you saw how God worked. But on occasion, he just likes to really show his power so more people see it. And this is Matthew 8. There's another one similar to this in Mark 6. But this one in Matthew 8, it says, And when he was entered into a ship, the disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Verse 24. Insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciple came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? The choice there is fear or faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? That's for the glory of God. That's when he wants to make it publicly known. In the Mark 6 passage, it's something like that, only the Lord sent the disciples out across the sea, and he stood on the shore, waited around, prayed for a while, and then he stood on the shore and watched them out there toiling. Watched them in their struggles. And then he was going to walk on right past them. And they happened to see him, cried out. Peter saw him, got out in the water, kept his eyes on Jesus, took his eyes off Jesus, looked at the circumstances, and started going down in the water. And it says in Isaiah, Thou wilt keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. But that's the thing. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Where we see the circumstances, and our mind gets on those, then we catch ourselves, come back to Jesus, go back to the circumstances, you see, back and forth. And so these are all for the glory of God. Why are you facing trouble, problem? Well, first, you're alive. Second, God's proving you. And third, it's for the glory of God. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand this idea. I don't know what trouble some folks are going through. Everybody's got different issues they're dealing with, growing pains, whatnot. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand these ideas, help us to be faithful to thee, help us to draw closer to thee as a result of the problems, the discouragements, the frustrations, the anxieties, the trouble that we face, each and every one. I just pray you'd help us to be faithful to thee. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed, the instruments will play, the altar's open if you need it. Matter of affliction and trouble, American Christianity is pretty far down the totem pole compared to Christians in China, any Islamic country, any communist country on that area. They're more advanced, more spiritual than, generally speaking, American Christianity. But the idea is to grow in grace. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The psalmist said, Before I was afflicted, I went astray. So it's a matter of growth and grace. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be faithful soldiers of thee. Lord, I remember seeing of accounts and some soldiers that's been out in war for a long time, you know, hearing the noise, and they're just sitting there eating something, and the new recruits are ducking and hiding. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to recognize that the safest place for any of us is in the perfect will of God. And if the perfect will of God is a quick transportation out of this planet to yours, I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to rest in thee in Jesus' name. Amen.